there's going to be a halt, a stop, and by next week, Seder, already the entire plan of entering Eretz Yisrael, which was the ultimate goal and the objective, is simply going to be aborted. It's not going to take place in that generation and not with those people. They're all going to die in the desert. That's going to be next week, Seder, Parshat Shlach, and it's only their children who are going to make it into Eretz Yisrael. I would like to begin reading in Parashat Bahalotcha, chapter Yud, chapter 10, Pasuk Chaf Tet, Pasuk 29. There's a fascinating conversation that takes place between Moshe Rabbeinu and his father-in-law. There's a great deal to be said about this conversation. I'm only going to zero in on one facet of it. First, let's read. Vayomer Moshe leChovav ben Reuel haMidyani. Moshe said to Chovav, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Chotein Moshe, the father-in-law of Moshe. I think in the next few words, you can sense the excitement. You can sense something festive about it. Nosim anachnu. We're journeying. We're ready to move. El hamakom asher omar Hashem, to the place that God has said, Oto eten lachem, I'm going to give it to you. So therefore Moshe Rabbeinu invites his father-in-law, lechoy tonu. Come with us. Ve'tavnu loch, and we will be good to you. Ki Hashem diber tov al Yisrael, God has spoken good about Israel. Vayomer Elov, so he said to him, Lo Eilech, I will not go. Ki im el artzi ve'el moladiti Eilech, I'm going to go to my land and to my birthplace. One of the problems that we're going to deal with is there's something seemingly superfluous in this pasuk. He says twice, Lo Eilech, he says, I will not go. Only to my land and my birthplace. What would have been wrong if he would have said, "Vayomer elov, lo, ki im el artzi ve'el moladiti eleich, I will go to my land and my birthplace." Why does he have to say eleich, lo eleich? I will not go. Lo, no, I'm not going. No, I'm not. Ki im el artzi ve'el moladiti eleich. Vayomer, so Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Al no tazov otanu, don't forsake us." You know our encampment in the desert. You knew how to assist us. You were an advisor. You were eyes for us. You will be eyes for us. You'll see things clearly. You'll be able to assist us. And it will come to pass if you will go with us. That good that God is going to do for us, we will be good to you. We don't hear the response. We don't really know what happens. Conversation ends here. I'm not going to go into it, but there's a great machloket between the Mefarshim. When did Yitro come to the Midbar? Did he come before Torah was given? Did he come after Torah was given? According to Ramban, he came twice. And the fact is that there's a pasuk in Parashat Yitro that says, "Vayishlach Moshe et chotno." Moshe sent his father-in-law away. Vayelech al aretz, and he went to his land. So there are all sorts of questions about when he came, what happened to him. But one thing we know for certain, that later on, in the time of the Shoftim, the family of Yitro is living in the area of Yericho. They did come on Aliyah. And it seems that he's going to go back to his land and to his birthplace in order to finish up his affairs. You know, you have to sell the house. You have to prepare a lift. He's going L'gayer b'nei mishpachto. He's going in order to convert the members of his family. And there's no question about it that he's going to convert them in such a way that they will be accepted when they come to Eretz Yisrael, and when they enter the country in their Tudat Zehut, it will say that this is Yehudi Al Pi Din Torah, because Yitro is certainly going to do it as Moshe says it should be done. So he will ultimately arrive in Eretz Yisrael. Vayisu Mehar Hashem, They journeyed from Hashem. Here it is. The journey begins. They went Derech Shloshet Yomim, a journey of 3 days. And Rashi says, Mahalach Shloshet Yomim, a journey of 3 days. Holchu b'yom echad, in 1 day, they journeyed 3 days worth. Shohaya Hakadosh Baruch Hu chafetz lahachnisam laoretz miyad, because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wanted to bring them into Eretz Yisrael immediately. And the pasuk goes on to say, "Vayron b'rit Hashem nosei lifneihem," and the Ark of the Covenant of God journeys before them. Derech shloshet yamim, 3 days journey. Latur lahem menucha, in order to find for them a place that's ultimately going to be their menucha. Another Rashi here that we will comment on. Rashi says, what Aron was this that journeyed before them? What ark? Says Rashi, Zeha Aron hayotze imohem lemulchama, there was an ark that went out with them to war. Ubo shivrei luchot munachim, the broken parts of the luchot were in that Aron. The broken luchot were there. Umagdim lefneim derech shloshet yamim, and it went before them for a journey of 3 days. L'takein lahem makom chanaya, in order to prepare the way for them. It paved their way to Eretz Yisrael. And what we're going to have to understand is why the Aron that has the broken Luchot, what's so special about this? Why not an Aron that has a Sefer Torah in it? No, the Aron with the Shivrei Luchot. Pasuk goes on to say, Vanan Hashem aleim yomam, a cloud of God was upon them during the day. Bin nos'am min ha'machaneh, when they journeyed from the camp. The word linsoa appears now. This is the fourth time, and it's going to come up the fifth time now. The next two great psukim, according to the Gemara says that Vayihi bin Sora Haron is a chumish unto itself. According to an opinion in the Gemara, there aren't five chumashim, there are seven chumashim. How can you say seven chumashim? I imagine seven sevenths there were. Because Sefer Bamidbar up until Vayihi bin Sora is one chumash, the two psukim of Vayihi bin Sora is another chumash, and the rest of Bamidbar is another. So Bamidbar is three chumashim according to an opinion in the Gemara. Vayihi bin Sora Haron, when the ark journeyed, Vayomer Moshe said, Kuma Hashem Rebein Shem, stand up, your food, and your enemies shall be dispersed, your nusum sanecha miponecha, and those who hate you shall flee from before you. Uvenucha Yomar, and when they came to rest, he said, Shuva Hashem Divrei Salf Yisrael, the Rebein Shem, bring back the tens of thousands of Israel. So this is Vayihi bin Sora, and it has the inverted nun before and the upside down nun after it, which is already an indication that the nun that represents journey is not facing in the right direction. The nun is not facing forward, but it's upside down, because everything is going to be turned upside down now. Here it is, a whole parsha. Do you know what's been happening in this parsha till now? In this parsha till now, the tribe of Levi have been set aside and they've been consecrated. They are the ones who are going to who serve in the Beit HaMikdash. The entire plan of the Onan, how they are to journey. They're told that when the Onan is going to rise, then they are to begin to journey. When the Oron stops, they're to encamp. The whole parsha of the Onan, how they're to journey. And then there's the mitzvah to Moshe Rabbeinu that he should make for himself trumpets, and the trumpets are in order to warn the community of danger, call the people together, bring the zakenim, the elders, together. A whole signal, a system of signals that were the chatzotzros and the shofros. And now everything changes dramatically. Tragedy strikes. Vayehi ha'am kimit oninim, and the people were like complainers. Ra ba'oznei Hashem, it was evil in the ears of God. Vayishma Hashem, God heard. Vayichar apo, and he was angry. Vativar bam eish Hashem, and the fire of God consumed, ate away at them. Vatochal b'kzei hamachne, and it destroyed the ends of the camp. This is a strange kind of complaint. We don't even know who the complaint is, what the complaint is. We don't know what the complaint is. They are kimit oninim, like complainers. Who's the only one that senses it? Who picks it up? Who hears it? Only Rab Oznei Hashem. Vayishma Hashem, the Rebbe Shem hears. It's his ears. He picks it up. He knows that something is wrong. He knows that these people, for whatever reason it may be, they're not ready to make the journey. Later on, they're going to complain. They want basar. They want steaks. And maybe they even want Ferraris. And you'll understand when you read the Ornette, you will know exactly why I made that comment. They're not ready. Moshe Rabbeinu begins to complain, Rabbeinu Shalom, where am I going to get basar, meat for this whole people? I can't carry them anymore. What am I going to be? I'm like an omein, a nursemaid carrying the child. I can't do it. And the Rebbeinu Shem understands that the task of leading the Jewish people is too difficult for him, so he establishes a Sanhedrin of 70. And it's only going to go downhill. And of course it's going to reach Baden, next week Sedra, Pasha Shlach. And that's why in Pasha Shlach, of course, we're going to deal with the question of living in Israel. That's the question we're going to deal with. But meanwhile, what we have to talk about over here is, it's obvious that something is going wrong. The people simply are not ready. For whatever reason it is, they're not ready. And of course, we're going to talk later about the fact that there were other times in history at which, tragically, they were not ready when they should have been ready. But first, I want to tell you a very beautiful Kleyaka. Kleyaka says the following. On that first pasuk that we learned, Moshe speaks to his father-in-law, and he tells him, "We are journeying. We're journeying." Rashi says, "Nosim anachtu al amakom." We are journeying to the place. Miyad ab gimel yamin. Immediately we're going. And another 3 days, onu nichnasin la'aretz, and another 3 days, we're entering Eretz Yisrael. Shebimasa zeh harishon, this first journey, nasu, they journeyed al menas, unconditionally, kaneis la'aretz Yisrael, to enter Eretz Yisrael. Ela shechotu b'misoninim, but they sinned with the misoninim. This kind of complaint, that was probably in Yiddish, you would say that there were people who were walking around mit a rogelozen and nezer, sort of, you know, there was a certain lack, to put it mildly, there was a lack of a sense of excitement. The excitement was not shared by Klal Yisrael. Are they concerned about the future? Are they concerned how things are going to be in Eretz Yisrael? They may even be concerned about whether they're going to fit in socially into Eretz Yisrael. Will they have possibly proper yeshivas for their children and good education? All of these things. I mean, a lot of things that worry people before they come. On Aliyah, what are they going to do about diras? You understand, it's and chasen machen kinder in Eretz Yisrael, to make weddings for children in Eretz Yisrael, it's very expensive. Who knows? I don't know what they're worried about, but they're obviously worried. This is a great adventure; they're not ready for it. Why does Moshe say? Rashi points out, why does Moshe say, "Nosam anachnu"? We are journeying, and he includes himself because he does not know yet that he's not going to enter Eretz Yisrael. The gzeira, the decree against Moshe, has not yet been issued. That's going to come later in Parashat Chukat. So Nosim Anachnu, he's ready. We're journeying. Says the Kleyaka the following. He wonders about the use of two words. Moshe says, Nosim Anachnu, we're journeying, Nosea. And he says to Yitro, to his father-in-law, Lecho Itanu. Why doesn't he say Sa Itanu? Why doesn't he use the same word? Journey with us. Or Moshe could have said, Holchim anachnu, we're going, and lecho itonu. And when Yitro responds in the next pasuk, he says, Lo eleich, ki im el arzi ve'el moladeti eleich. Why the movement of these two words? And a number of times in the parsha we pointed out, 4 or 5 times, the term noseya, to journey, is used. And with regard to Yitro, it's the the word lalechet. Says the Klei Yarka, he asks a number of other questions, but I only want to deal with this one. And the Klei Yarka says the following. He says that there's a difference between the word halicha, lalechet, to go, and the word linsoa, to journey. The difference is the following. Halicha, the term halicha, to go, nofel al tenuat haraglayim. That represents the movement of feet. Levad, that alone, the physical movement, hama'atikin et ha'adam, that move a man, mimakom lemakom, from one place to the next, from place A to place B. Avol yochol liot, but it could be, sha'av biyoto holeich lemakom acher, mikom makom adayin dato ksuda bimakom asher holach misham. Lalechet means that I'm going. It represents a physical movement from place to place, but it's very possible that while a person is moving from place A to B, his mind and his heart and his feelings are still in A. But he is moving physically from one place to the next. That's halicha. But the word avolosho nisiyah, the term journeying, ha'ataka, this is a movement kolelet, that it includes gufo umachshafto mikol v'kol. Not only is his body moving, but he is moving emotionally, he's moving spiritually, he is moving with every part of his neshama, and he's leaving the past, what's behind, over, gone. He is only moving in one direction with every part of his physical and emotional and spiritual makeup. He's journeying in that direction. So therefore, kimitam zeh, that's why the Rebbeinu Shem tells Avram Avinu, lech lecha me'artzecha u'memiladetcha u'mibeit avicha. Begin the physical journey. And in the course of that physical journey, you're going to have to move away from your land, from your birthplace, from your father's house. The Rebbeinu Shem doesn't expect Avram to walk out of Haran. And as he walks out of Haran, birthplace, home, family, society, friends, the familiar scenes, sights, sounds, scents, all of them are just gone in one moment in time. The Rebbeinu Shem understands what Avraham Avinu is going to go through. The process of his journeying is going to be a journeying of the legs. He's going to be moving from one place to the next, but he's still going to be bound up in some way, shape, or form, emotionally and intellectually, with his past. Avraham Avinu comes into Eretz Yisrael, comes to Shechem. He builds a mizbeach to the God who appeared to him. And then the pasuk goes on to say that from there on and further, he was holoch v'nosoa hanegba. He went and he journeyed to the south. Do you know that something has happened since Avram has come into Eretz Yisrael? He's come through part of the land, and do you know what's happening to him? His halicha is turning into nisiya. He is able to leave the past behind, his edetz and his moledet and his birthplace and his father's house. It's all behind him. Now he's only looking forward ahead. Fascinatingly, says the Klei Yarka, what was it that Yitro says to Moshe in response? So this is classic Klei Yarka drush. Vayomer Elav. So Yitro says to him, Lo Eilech, don't consider me in the category of a one who's a holech, who's going, because I'm ready emotionally and spiritually to go with you, just like you. I'm an Oseya, just like you are. Do you know when you could call me a holech? El Artzi Vel Mauladiti Eilech. If I have to go back home to my land, to my birthplace, then I'll be a holech. Then I'll be moving physically from one place to the next, but emotionally, I'm with you. I'm an Oseya just like you are. I am a journeyer just like you are. Very beautiful, classic drush. Kli Yakov. What is it that journeys before them? What journeys before them is the Aron. And Rashi, we pointed out, says, what's in the Aron? The Shivrei Luchot, the broken Luchos, are in the Aron. I saw a Ben Tzvi of Fira makes a very beautiful comment. He asks the question, why Dafke, is it the Aron, the Shivrei Luchos, and it seems there's nothing else in that Aron? If there is something else in the Aron, it certainly wasn't important enough to be mentioned. Maybe there is something else in the Aron. But it certainly wasn't important enough to mention, because Rashi says, the Aron that travels before them, that Aron that journeys before them, is the Aron that has the Shivrei Luchos. In what way are the Shivrei Luchos so powerful? What's their significance? What's their importance? So he says that, you know what the Shivrei Luchos tell them? The Shivrei Luchos send an extremely important, the broken parts of the Luchos send an extremely important message to Klal Yisrael. In the event that there may have been Jews in Klal Yisrael who thought, listen, it's really not terribly important for us to go to Eretz Yisrael. You know, we can spread out all over the world. And we can go to various communities all over the world, and in each community, so we won't be the majority, won't be the dominant community. But we have the mettle and the strength to maintain ourselves and our identity. And wherever we go, we're going to set up Jewish communities, healthy, vibrant, strong, growing, flourishing Jewish communities. I can imagine that there are even those who may very well find good reason for it. We're going to be able, in one fell stroke, we're going to bring the message of one God to a whole world. In every country in the world where you go, there's going to be a Jewish community, and Jews are going to be saying Shema Yisrael, or Shema nations of the world, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We're going to be the light unto the nations. What do we need? Our own particular little country, Allah, in which we're all going to be gathered together. Who needs it? Let's be citizens of the world who are members of the Jewish faith. We can survive out there too. Moshe wants to send them an extremely important message. What did it say in Parshat Ki Tisa when they made the Egel? Who influenced them to make the Egel? Who was behind the Egel? The Psukim said it clearly. It was the Eid of Rav. In other words, here there were non-Jews had come out of Mitzrayim with them, and here in the midst of that group of people there was already this powerful influence that Jews make an Egel, and Moshe Rabbeinu has to break the Luchos. Do you know what message that's sending to Klal Yisrael? The only place where we're ever going to be able to build ourselves up as a true Am Hashem is going to be when we're all together in one place. And we're going to make certain that the influence and the atmosphere is going to be an atmosphere of Am Hashem in Eretz Yisrael. That's what we need. And don't tell me your stories that we can survive any place in the world, and that other countries in the world may be the promised land. Or we don't need a promised land. Here it is. That's what he says. Shivrei Luchos are that which we remind Klal Yisrael that they sinned, the sin of the Egel, as a result of the Eid of Rav. And that proved the historic necessity for the Jewish people that they need Eretz Yisrael as their birthplace. And that's why they're going to have to conquer the land, and they're going to have to establish themselves in that country. It means, of course, that Jews in Eretz Yisrael have to make certain that the problems that afflicted Klal Yisrael in the Gola are not imported over here to Eretz Yisrael. And unfortunately, that's the struggle in the midst of which we find ourselves right now. Yisrael understands that a Geilus is a Geilus. Conversion is conversion. And conversion has to be according to Dat Moshe, the Yisrael. his son-in-law's gedolus, that's good gedolus. But what really emerges from the parsha, the tragedy of the parsha, the first half of the great anticipation ready for the journey, and the second half where they begin to move downhill until ultimately they're just not going to make it. They're not going to get into Eretz Yisrael. Is because of an undefined reluctance. Call it fear. Call it that they're not ready. And they're not ready for it, but they're not ready to go. And whenever Klal Yisrael was not ready to go to Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately, it brought upon us terrible, terrible suffering. That's why this past Shabbos, in Shul, what I was talking about, and I always want to point out that I'm very even-handed, I'm very open-minded, so if next week I may go to work on Ornette, which I said is an extremely outstanding publication, but we have a right to disagree, and disagreement is the beauty of Klal Yisrael, you should know. To be able to disagree, to be able to express other opinions, and I am going to express another opinion, but since I want to show you that I'm very even-handed, very balanced, so therefore there was something that bothered me in a Zionist publication, blue and white, Kachol V'Lavan. So we'll start with that, so that nobody can accuse me later that, you know, I start up with Ornette. I don't mean that at all. I don't mean that at all. So what bothered me was, same week, and this was pointed out to me by my son Yirmi. You know, he hears the stuff that I talk about in the house. There was an article on the back page of Shabbat B'Shabbato by a terrific big Talmud Chacham, which proves one thing. The Gemara says, Shabeshta, a mistake, Kivon da ol, once a mistake makes its way into our thought processes, it sticks, it's so difficult to uproot and remove a mistake. And here is a big Talmud Chacham, I hold, made a terrible mistake. Lufi aniyut da'ati, terrible mistake. There was an article in Shabbat B'Shabbato, the last page, there was an article about the Vilna Gaon, and it was entitled, The Gaon HaGaon MeYerushalayim DeLita. The Gaon who came from the Yerushalayim of Lithuania. And then in parentheses it says, Vilna. Because Vilna has been called the Yerushalayim of Lithuania. So what I want to set out to prove is that it's not so. You're not allowed to call any place in the world Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to call cities Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to call pizza parlors Yerushalayim. Can't call anything Yerushalayim. There's only one Yerushalayim. That's exactly where we are right now. This is Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. There's nothing else like this Yerushalayim. So first I want to tell you a Gemara. And I say this because it's sort of a bit of a mission of mine. Certain mistakes that have crept into the Jewish way of saying things, and they're not Jewish at all. And I spoke about it once before, about 6-7 years ago, and I spoke about it this past Shabbos. And I remember what triggered it a number of years ago. One of my sons-in-law, I'd forgotten it, but somebody reminded me Shabbos in the afternoon. One of my sons-in-law came to me a few years ago, that's been 7-8 years ago, says, Abba, I want you to listen to this tape. And he puts a tape into the tape recorder, and it's Pirkei of Denver singing. And the main song on the cassette is Denver, the Yerushalayim of the West. You understand? Here's the tie of a little Yiddish at Kinderloch. I was singing about Denver, the Yerushalayim of the West, how beautiful it is and how the air is great and this is terrific and there are yeshivas and everything. Denver, the Yerushalayim of the West. Of course, my son one also knows me, so he knew that this was going to upset me, which of course it did. Of course it did. It was like, you know, it bothered me a great deal more than you know, those other songs, you know, Miami, the greatest town, or Toronto. Was, man, it's on. Yiddish, kinderlich, singing such kind of songs, it's terrible. It's terrible. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Dalid Amid Aleph, says the following. Want to give another Gemara? The Gemara talks about Sancheriv. Sancheriv sent Klal Yisrael into exile, king of Ashur. He was a Rosha. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, Mipnei ma nikra osa Rosha. Why was that Rosha called Asnopa Rabba V'Akira? And by the way, there is going to be an addition to what I said on Shabbos, I'm sure. Because it just, you know, as I said it earlier this week, it occurred to me. This Rosha, by the way, Rabbi Yochanan was one of the Amoroi Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan was a tremendous Ohev Eretz Yisrael. And if you know what Rabbi Yochanan is, and I'm not going to go into that now, you know that this Maimon Chazal, this is real Rabbi Yochanan. Says Rabbi Yochanan, why was Sancheriv called by this great title, the great and precious Osnapar? And I assume Osnapar is a very great title. So the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan, Mipnei Shlo Sipei Begnusa Shel Eretz Yisrael, because he didn't speak ill of Eretz Yisrael. He didn't speak shamefully of Eretz Yisrael. When he came to take Jews into exile, he told them, I'm taking you El Eretz Ka'artzechem. I'm taking you to a land like your land. He didn't tell them, as Sidney Carton says at the end of the A Tale of Two Cities, I'm taking you to a far, far better place than you have ever been. He didn't say that. Because he knew that if he would tell Jews, I'm taking you to a better place than Eretz Yisrael, they wouldn't have believed him. They would have told him, come shakri, you're lying. So he told them, I'm taking you to a land, ka'artzechem. Gemara ends, and of course this is the tragic part of the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan says, Avol Yisrael, but Yisrael sipru begnusah shel Eretz Yisrael, but Yisrael did speak ill of Eretz Yisrael, shamefully. Kimatu, Mara says, Kimatu shosh, when they came to a place called Shosh, they said, Shavya ki arin, my, this is just like Eretz Yisrael. Kimatu almin, when they came to a place called Almin, they said, my, ka almin, this is just like Almin. When they came to a place, Shosh trei, they said, my, this is twice as good as Eretz Yisrael. Now I want you to hear the Rashi. Rashi is important. Avol Yisrael, says Rashi, ki aglinu Sancheriv, when Sancheriv sent them into exile, Sipru Bignusa Shel Eretz Yisrael, they spoke ill of Eretz Yisrael. When they came to a place called Shosh, they said, Shavya la'arin, this is just like Eretz Yisrael. Zot ha'aretz, Shavya la'artzeinu, this land is equal to our land. And here's the important part. When they came to a place called Almin, Amru, they said, Ki Almin, this is just like Almin. Ze ha'makom shove li'Yerushalayim, this place is just like Yerushalayim. Shenikreit Beit Olamim. Eretz Yisrael is, Yerushalayim is called Beit Olamim, the eternal home of the Jewish people. So here was a place out somewhere in exile called Almin, Beit Olamim. They said, this is just like Yerushalayim. I mean, I did have one of my uncomfortable moments. I was guest for Shabbos in a shul somewhere in the United States, and the rabbi introduced me to the congregation by saying that we have an extremely important guest. Should I tell you everything he said about me? No, that's not completely necessary to share. We have an important guest from Yerushalayim of Eretz Yisrael who is visiting us here and spending Shabbos with us here in Yerushalayim of America. You understand? My blood pressure went sky high, And I didn't know what to do. Chashev Rav, Chashev a big man. But it's quite clear that Shabeshta, the Gemara is right, Shabeshta, a mistake, given the all, there are certain mistakes that made their way into Klal Yisrael, and we have to uproot it. It's very difficult to uproot it. Yes, Vilna was called Yerushalayim, Delita. In the United States, there have been communities that have been competing for that. I had thought, when I came to Baltimore in the 50s, I had thought that Baltimore was called Vilna of America. Somebody corrected me and said, no, there was a period of time at which they called Baltimore Yerushalayim of America. So there are a lot of Yerushalayims. There are more Yerushalayims in America, by the way, than there are in Eretz Yisrael. I know only of one here. But there are all sorts of communities that compete for this honor. I did remember saying, the first time I gave this shiur, I remembered saying that it's certain to me that calling Vilna Yerushalayim of America did not calling Vilna Yerushalayim of Lithuania did not come from Jewish sources. Couldn't have come. Didn't come from the Vilna coin, that's for sure. Didn't come from there. A few years later, there's a Jew who used to live here, Tayyid Chaim Flax, Olav HaShalom, lived on HaKablan. One day he came into shul and he comes over to me and says, Rabbi, I want you to read this. And there he shows me an article. And the article said that when Napoleon conquered Vilna and they took him for a tour of the ghetto of Vilna, Napoleon said, it must have sounded something like, my, this is just like Jerusalem. This is just like Jerusalem. Even though, of course, it's just like Jerusalem, but not Mamish Jerusalem, because it didn't have a mur de lamentation. Do you know what mur de lamentation is? I know more French than you. The wailing wall is mur de lamentation. That they didn't have in Vilna. So therefore, this is just like Jerusalem. Just like Jerusalem. There's no question about it. That was something that was sort of repeated. You know what Napoleon said? Napoleon said, Vilna is Yerushalayim the Lita. And with the course of time, it sort of became the great way to describe a community, but according to the Gemara and according to the Rashi, you can't do it. You can't say it. That's called Lesaper Bignusa Shel Eretz Yisrael. Saying that someplace else is like Eretz Yisrael, or that there's another place that's like Yerushalayim, is called Lesaper Bignusa Shel Eretz Yisrael. What was it that occurred to me after Shabbos, as I said the shiur yesterday? Who is the one that calls Sancherev Osnapor Rabovi Akira, the great and the precious Osnapor? It's Ezra. And you're going to find out why now. When Ezra returned from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, when he went on Aliyah, Koresh, king of Persia, gave permission for Jews, you can, anybody who's part of this people that wants to go up to Yerushalayim, Asher be Yehuda, Yerushalayim, and you want to build a house to the God of the heavens, Bevakasha, you can go. My blessings. So Ezra began to speak to the people of Babel that they should join him in the great adventure of going to Eretz Yisrael. I would imagine that Ezra said, Nosim Anachnu, we are journeying to Eretz Yisrael, Sa Itanu, journey with us. The response that he got from the overwhelming number of Jews in Bavel, unfortunately, was, Lo Nelech, we will not go. Vayehi Ha'om Kimit Oninim, the people were, like Mit Oninim, they couldn't break with their homes and their businesses and their society and their community. And these are the words of the Rabbi Yehuda Levi in the Kuzri, when the king of the Khazars, after listening to Rabbi Yehuda Levi talking about the greatness and the kedusha, the sanctity, the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, so he says, I don't understand, what are you telling me? All of you Jews are living in Chutz Laaretz, why aren't you living over there? And Yehuda Levi even said, Kihi Beit Chayenu, what do we say in the brachos after the Haftorah, Eretz Yisrael is Beit Chayenu, the house of our life. Without Eretz Yisrael, we don't have life. So he says, what are you doing in Chutz Laaretz? says Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, the most honest answer of all. Honest. Hovashtani Melech Khuzar, King of the Khazars, you have embarrassed me. You're right. That was our sin. That was the chet of the time of Ezra that Jews didn't go on Aliyah. 700-800 years later, and we're going to talk more about him in Yiras Hashem next week, Resh Lakish, when he met a Jew from Bavel, he said, Eloha, I swear, Sanun Elohim Bavloi, I hate you Babylonians. There are a number of places in Shas where we find, and it appears in Shas Bavli, that if you wanted to really call somebody a dirty name, you called him a Babylonian. You Babylonian. You didn't even have to say you miserable Babylonian. You Babylonian. Because Resh Lakish said, if you would have gone up en masse in the days of Ezra, Bet HaMikdash would never have been destroyed. But you didn't go. We have a Mesorah, and there are many of them, not one. And I want to read a number of them to you from a sefer called Me'ofar Kumi. Me'ofar Kumi was written by a young man, Tzvi Glatt, who was one of the yeshiva bachrim who was killed in Hebron. You remember there were 6-7 yeshiva bachrim who were on their way to the Marat HaMachpel. It must have been about 15 years ago long. And he was one of the young men who was killed. He was about 21, 22. He had written the Sefer when he was 19. It was published posthumously. So in the Sefer he brings a number of the traditions that we have with regard to Ezra. A number of them are brought also in the Sefer Eim HaBonim Smecha, but here he really has just about all of them. It's clear that Ezra sent letters and or visited communities, Jewish communities throughout the world to tell them, Nosim anachnu sa'itonu, we're going, come with us. And we have on record the responses that he received in the various communities. One is brought in the Seder HaDoros. Seder HaDoros says, and by the way, what you have to know, the Gemara itself says it, fourth parak in the Sefer Kedushin, said, who went with Ezra from Bavel? 42,000 people went. And who were the 42,000 that went with him? The absolute lowlifes of the Jewish community of Bavel. The drug pushers, the guys from the gambling places in Matanya, and you know, the whole, the Unterwelt, the underworld of Bavel went. Mishnah says, who went? Hariri, Nesini, Mamzeri, Asufi, Shtuki. I don't even have to translate it already. You can tell who it was that came with Ezra to Bavel. From Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. The rest didn't want to go with him. They simply didn't want to go with him. And so Ezra went and he appealed to other communities throughout the world, come with me, because Jews had already been dispersed. The largest Jewish community in the world was in Bavel, but there were others in different communities. He says there were many that went to Alexandria of Egypt. There were those who went to Ammon and Moab, which was on the east bank of the Jordan. There were those who went as far as Spain, and Lo Rotzu Lo Seis Mibatem, the Seder HaDeres says they didn't want to leave their homes. But Amram, and this is fascinating, those communities said that Binyan HaBayit, the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, is only Pekidah. Yirmiyahu had said that there will be a Pekidah, God will remember the Jewish people, and then the real thing is going to come afterwards. So they said, you built a Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is just, I mean, that's not real Geula yet. Oh, Amamish, I hear shades of people of the same kind of things that you hear today. In other words, when people will tell you, when Mashiach will come and there'll be a Beis HaMikdash, what are you talking about? Oh, we're just going to leave our homes, we're going to come running to Eretz Yisrael. They'll find another excuse then. It's not a real Mashiach. It's not a real Beis HaMikdash. There will always be an excuse.
people told Ezra, Binyan Beis HaMikdash, okay, no. It's not the same, it's not the real thing. The Melech Shlomo, who was a Meforish of the Mishnayos and came from Yemen, said that there was a Masorah by the Jews of Yemen Ezra came to them, or Ezra sent them a letter, and they refused, they rejected his plea, so they say that he cursed them that they should remain poverty stricken all their lives. And he says that that's exactly what happened to the Jewish community of Yemen. Yemen, that they came to live in Teman 42 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. V'kasher ola Ezra mi-Bavel, when Ezra came out from Bavel, he sent ktovim l'chol Yisrael, he sent letters to all of Israel, la'alotimo, to go with him. And he sent to them also, and they didn't come. V'chora behem af ha-kohen harosh, who Ezra? Ezra, the great Kohen. He got angry with them, v'hechedim otam, and he cursed them with a terrible curse. And therefore, ein lahem shalva u'menucha, they have no peace, no tranquility. In a sefer called Nidche Yisod, that was written by one of the presidents of the state of Israel, Yitzhak Ben Tzvi, he talks about a community that was some 70 kilometers from Tehran by the name of Gilrad. And he says that Gilrad really was a perversion of a name, Gilad. There were 600,000 Jews from Gilad, the other side of the Jordan, that came to live there, and they established a big, beautiful community. And Ezra appealed to them that they should come on Aliyah, and they refused him because they said, Eretz Yisrael Malei Milchamos, Eretz Yisrael is full of wars. V'kam be'eretz hachadasha, here in the new land, we're sitting in peace and tranquility. We enjoy civil rights and freedom, and we have enough land, water, and air. Lama zeh yazu, why should we leave our place and go journey elsewhere? Ezra is supposed to have answered them that a good situation for Jews in Chutz Arts is only a passing phenomenon, and he foresees that there are going to be extremely difficult times for them. And he even said that there's going to come a time that you won't have a tenth for a minyan. And the Masorah says that that's exactly what happened to a community that was built by 600,000 Jews. They reached a point that 9 Jews were left in Gilad. By the way, maybe they should not have named their community Gilad either. It's always this fascinating thing. Pizza parlors and restaurants over here are called New York, Los Angeles, Brooklyn, and over there it's Tel Aviv, Yerushalayim, Golan. It's amazing. There's a Masorah with regard to the island of Jerba. The island of Jerba, there were a lot of Kohanim and Leviim there. So Ezra went, he needed Leviim, and they refused to come. He cursed them that by the end of the year, no Leviim would be left, that they all died. And therefore, the island of Jerba became a community of Kohanim only. Long history of only Kohanim. The final one that I want to bring, and that's the one that explains the Gemara to me. Final one is that the Jews were already living in the Rhineland. France, Germany, Vermeise, Worms, Magenta, and he sent a letter to them, and they were the ones who sent back a letter to him saying, Atem shvu b'Yerushalayim ha-Gedolah v'anachnu neshev b'Yerushalayim ha-Ketana. You can stay in the big Yerushalayim, we're going to remain in the little Yerushalayim. They were calling themselves Yerushalayim. Do you understand the extent to which this seared the neshama of Ezra, to the point that he was able to call a Rosha? That's why it was Ezra in his Sefer. He's the one who calls Sancheriv the Rosha, who exiled Jews. He says that Sancheriv, he gave him this great title of Osnapa Rabbi Akira, because he said, I'm taking you all Eretz Ka'atzichem, but Klal Yisrael were Mesaper Begnuta. It was Ezra's Neshama who was torn apart by those responses that he received from Chutz Arts. There is therefore a tradition,
that the Rhineland communities suffered during the course of the Crusades many years later, more than the other communities of Europe. They were completely wiped out and destroyed. It expresses itself also in a halacha. And with that we will close. It expresses itself in a very interesting halacha. Everybody knows, you know, you say avarachamim on Shabbos. Avarachamim is the tefillah for the kedoshim and tahorim, those who gave their lives. So the halacha also is, or the minhag, that a Shabbos on which you don't say tachnun, you don't say avarachamim. A Shabbos that's special in the sense, for example, it's Shabbos Mevorachim Yibenshim Rosh Chodesh, you don't say of Arachamim. So here we had a problem in Shul. The problem in Shul was 2 weeks ago, Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on Friday. Sunday is going to be the beginning of the Shloshes Yimei Hagbalah. Shabbos is the second day of Sivan. The second day of Sivan has a special name. It's called Yom HaMiyuchas, the special day. Why is it special? Because on one side it has Rosh Chodesh, and on the other side it has the Shloshes Yimei Hagbalah. So there was a question, do you say Avarachamim? So I found in the Sefer of Daniel Sperver, on Minhagei Yisrael, excellent, excellent Sefer. He's my son-in-law's uncle, not the son-in-law that brought me the tape about Denver. My Taimani son-in-law, whose family did come from Taiman, and they were taka poor like church mice when they came from Taiman. So it's something that's so fascinating. He brings from the Minhagim of the Maharam Rutenberg, who says that between Pesach and Shavuos we don't make weddings, and after. You see, what he's really dealing with is something very fascinating. There are really three minhagim of Sfira. There are those, Sfira is from Pesach until Shavuos, from Pesach until Lag BaOmer, and it's all related to the death of the students of Rabbi Akiva. And there are places from Rosh Chodesh Iyar until Shavuos. And he wonders, where did that minute come from? Where do we have a minute from Rosh Chodesh Iyar? I mean, it doesn't appear in the earlier sources. So he says, you know where it comes from? The Maharam Rutenberg writes that they didn't have weddings between Pesach and Shavuos. And after Nisan, after the month of Nisan passed, when the month of Iyar began, until Shavuos, every Shabbos they said kinos in Shul. And the names of the kinos, they were called zulasos. What does it say at the end of the Yatzev Enochon? Enokim Zulatecha Sela. They said kinos that were called Zulazos. Ubishabbos Shalifnei Shavuos, and the Shabbos before Shavuos, Maskir Neshamos. The Shabbos before Shavuos, you say Haskaras Neshamos, you say Yisker, Avarachamin, Shel Harugei Gzeros. Those who were killed in the terrible decrees, va'omer of harachamim. Of harachamim, it seems, may originally have been composed for the Shabbos before Shavuos. The minhagim were even more serious in general in all of the Rhineland communities, and it's all because of the Crusades, the destruction of those communities during the Crusades. And we know what the Masorah is, why they were destroyed. Because they're the ones who said, you can stay Ezra, you can live in the big Yerushalayim, and we're going to live in the little Yerushalayim. Do you know how far it went? In one of the Sifrei HaMinhagim, it says, Minik Tov, it's a good Minik, Shalola Histaper, not to take a haircut, V'Shalola Chaneich Ksus, not to put on a new garment, V'Shum Dovah Chodesh, or to use anything new, U'Lehitaneig Bamerchatz, or to go washing or swimming, the lasot tziponov, or to cut your nails, me acharei haPesach ad atzeret. From after Pesach until Shavuos, do you know what a long period of time that is? There isn't even avelus. It's nearly like avelus of Shiva during that whole period. Lichvod haChasidim haTaminim vaHayisharim shemasru atzmam al kedushas Hashem, in honor of the Chasidim and Tamimim and the righteous ones who gave their lives to Kiddush Hashem.
Aval b'yom lab gimel b'yomer mutu b'kol elu, because of the nest that was on Lag B'Omer. U'me Lag B'Omer v'ad Atzeres, but from Lag B'Omer until Atzeres, v'mekomo omed l'chomer.
I tell you, when I read this, I don't know whether to say embarrassed. We've done nothing that approaches anything like this for the 6 million. Do you see what they did in the Rhineland communities in the Middle Ages because of the destruction of a number of Jewish communities in the Crusades? We're talking about real avelis, not to cut your nails for 5 weeks, 6 weeks, not to make weddings, not to put on a new garment, not to go wash yourself. Most probably, except for Erev Shabbos, they went and washed. We're talking about real avelis, and we've done. It's God forbid, Benjamin should not be an indictment of Kleinstein. But I think most probably we have to remind people, Taka, that when Avarachmim is said on Shabbos, you have to have in mind the 6 million. You have to have in mind that all those who fell for the in the battle and the struggle for Eretz Yisrael, all of the victims of terror. Beyond that, I don't think anybody's life changed in any way because of the 6 million. I think it's an indictment of our generation. They knew how to respond, how to react. There was an outpouring of feeling that expressed itself in Minhagim, and there are many Sifkei Minhagim that say all of this. All of this because of the problem, exactly the same problem that we have in the Sedra. Moshe says Nosim Amachnu, and by the way, now it occurs to me, the Gemara says that if Torah would not have been given by Moshe, do you know to whom it would have been given? To Ezra HaSofer. Ezra is the Moshe after Churban Bayit Rishon. He is the Moshe. He is the Moshe and the Aaron. He is the Kohen Gadol. He is the one who says to all the communities of the world, Nosim Anachnu, we're journeying. Come with me. And he was turned down by Jewish communities throughout the world. 42,000. The lowest of the low of Bavel came, and they established the Second Commonwealth, and they built the Beis HaMikdash. Because they were the ones who were ready to do it. They were the ones who were ready to do it. All right. That's enough for Shir 1. I'm going to give you your homework sheets to read, and maybe at the end of the shiur, maybe I'll take a few minutes out at the beginning, I'll give you an opportunity to respond briefly, but I'm not promising. But anyway, I just want you to know, and anybody who listens to this tape, that this shiur was said in the real Yerushalayim and in the only Yerushalayim. Okay, Erev Tov.